Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee leaders are speaking out against gun violence after six teenagers were shot and wounded yesterday, including a 17-year-old suspect. With the latest now, here's Stuart J. Wattles.
The 17-year-old shooter in yesterday's Juneteenth violence was also shot himself, and police think there was probably two gunmen. Milwaukee's police chief put out a plea after six people under the age of 19 were rushed to the hospital yesterday.
Milwaukee, what's going on with our children? Parents, guardians, elders, we need to engage and ensure that this violence that our children are bringing to these streets cease.
Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman said the incident started with a fight between two teenage girls. We're waiting for updates on the victims. All are expected to survive. Stuart J. Wattles, Civic Media News.
An historic change to the way the state of Wisconsin shares tax money with local communities is now official. Governor Evers signed the bipartisan shared revenue bill into law this morning in Wausau. Most communities will get at least a 20% increase in state aid, but some places will get increases in the triple digits. Governor Evers says local communities have struggled for too long.
Much of the hard work that happens in our state happens at the local level, whether it's expanding affordable housing, repairing streets, ensuring clean parks and water, providing essential services like EMS, police, and fire, or supporting local libraries and public health.
State Senator LaTanya Johnson says the shared revenue boost saves Milwaukee and Milwaukee County from bankruptcy.
For the individuals in the city of Milwaukee who are on the verge of insolvency, this means an opportunity to start over.
But some Milwaukee leaders are not happy. Channel 58 reports that members of the city council plan to hire lawyers to sue the state over restrictions that affect Milwaukee. The bill also increases state aid to public education by $1 billion. Wisconsin child care workers are making another push to restore $340 million to the state budget to subsidize their industry. Sarah Rosso runs a child care center in Madison. She says child care counts money helped keep her center in business during the pandemic.
This year's going to be different if we are not funded. The reality is it costs over $19,000 a year for our care for our young ones. And raising our rates 10% this year is going to be an impossible task for some families.
Child care workers say there's still time to put the money back in the state budget. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News Time is 5:03.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Wildfire danger remains high for northwestern and southwestern Wisconsin today. The DNR says that this year's fire season is outpacing last year's so far, thanks in part to ongoing drought. The National Weather Service says conditions will stay hot and dry for at least a few more days. In Lake Halley, the village board is considering proposals that would target its homeless population. Police Chief Ed Orgon said the new ordinances would make loitering and living in vehicles ticketable offenses.
We've taken a significant amount of calls for people panhandling, for individuals living in their campers, trucks, cars, on public property.
The board plans to take up action on the proposals in July. And a man accused of shooting multiple people in downtown La Crosse early Saturday morning is being held on a $1 million cash bail. That's according to online court records. 31-year-old DeAndrew Grant is charged with six counts of reckless attempted homicide with the use of a dangerous weapon. La Crosse police said he fired a gun from a vehicle on 3rd Street around 2 a.m. on Saturday, shooting and injuring six people. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cusco.
The Brewers resetting for the D-backs. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens. Baseball tonight here at AmFam Field. As the Brewers host the Arizona Diamondbacks, Arizona winning big last night 9-1. The Brewers slipping into second place, a half game behind the Reds in the NL Central. The Diamondbacks are atop the NL West with the second best record in the National League. We spoke to Brewers manager Craig Counsell in the dugout a short time ago and asked him if there's something he saw about Arizona last season that told him they'd be this good this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're kind of like towards last, in the middle of last year, or a little before the middle of last year. They
they kind of started the transition with some of their young players. Corbin Carroll's an outstanding player, but guys like McCarthy, Perdomo, Rivera, it's a young, athletic group of players. They play really good defense. They make a lot of contact. They run well. They have two excellent starting pitchers. Gallen's been one of the best pitchers in the league for a while now, so that adds up to a good team.
Another good pitcher for Arizona is Merrill Kelly, who held the crew to just one run on three hits through seven innings last night. I asked manager Torey Lovallo about Kelly's performance.
Yeah, I was glad you gave me a chance to talk about him. He was outstanding. When you get out front the way we did, it's hard for a starting pitcher to maintain focus and concentration, but he was fantastic. He made pitches all day long. I had a brief conversation with him. You know, we were up seven runs. I just felt like it was that complete of an effort.
So tonight, the Diamondbacks send right-hander Ryne Nelson to the mound against the Brewers' Colin Ray. First pitch here at 7:10. NFL Packer fans were wondering, why did Jordan Love wish Bears fans a happy Father's Day on Twitter?
Happy Father's Day to all the Bears fans out there. Go Pack, go.
Jordan Love is in Paris, France, working out with other NFL players when Chris Diaz, who lives in France and is a Bears fan, asked Love to shoot the short video.
My English is not that good. That point of humor, I asked him to put in the message. So credit to him for saying it. Now, if it's misunderstood by some people, that's not my take.
That's sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a great day, Tuesday edition, sliding into the happier happy hour, and it's only getting better. We got a fine guest, Jim Santel, host of Morning Cannolis, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours. But hey, guys, let me tell the fine audience, you know, tomorrow is Make Music Madison Day. Every year on the summer solstice, you can put a music stage out, and you can play music without permit. And tomorrow, Civic Media, for the very first time at our studios, in fact, on State Street, we're putting a stage on State Street, Dayton and State, and we've got, unfortunately, counter-programming the Devil's Advocate Show tomorrow, but we've got a stage with three different bands, Eddie's Birth, Sunspot, and Dana Perry, 3 to 6 p.m. Central Time. It's too bad no one will be there because they're all listening to the greatest radio show ever. Welcome to our fine guest, Jim Santel. How you doing, Jim? Welcome back to the show.
I'm doing well. I'm only modestly offended you haven't booked me for tomorrow afternoon, but I'll get over it eventually.
Well, I didn't know you played rock music, Jim. Or you mean on this fine program. We booked you for today, man. More important, you know. Jim, let's deal with the... you know, the president's son, Hunter Biden, apparently to plead guilty. Three federal charges. A little slap on the wrist, a little time on paper. Jim, this does, to some's perception, feel like a sweetheart deal. Well negotiated by the attorney for Hunter Biden? Or perhaps do you think the impression that the president's son got a sweetheart deal might be a valid one, counselor?
I would go with the former on this one and give some kudos to Hunter Biden's attorney, who plainly was very aggressively meeting with Department of Justice officials for a long period of time, arguing with them about whether or not they've got a viable case. This happens routinely across America. Happened when I was U.S. attorney and assistant U.S. attorney. Defense counsel are looking at their client and saying to prosecutors, what is it you want to get out of this? You may have some routes in different areas. And eventually, I think this particular matter may sound like the particular charges here are not especially egregious, and they aren't. But my guess is that he convinced them that going into some other areas was not going to be fruitful for them, and be successful in getting prosecution. and negotiated with them this arrangement. And again, it's kind of in two packages, as you indicated, pleading guilty to two misdemeanor tax charges having to do with his 2017 and 2018 taxes. And then also is he's doing what's called a diversion agreement, which basically says that if he remains drug-free for 24 months, he will never again own a firearm, that he will not be prosecuted for his purchase of a firearm in 2018. We don't know all the specific facts here. We do know, obviously, that he will be a convicted, not a felon, but a misdemeanant, and will be sentenced at some point in the not-too-distant future, likely to probation.
You know, I am also a convicted misdemeanant, but they did threaten me with the felony, Jim, and they did put me in a diversionary agreement as terms of probation. If, you know, you keep your nose clean and you don't reoffend, then they wipe the felony and you're gone. You're effectively a convicted misdemeanant in my case. But Jim, I wasn't up on federal crimes and I was guilty of what I was accused, sir. And, you know, I pled to avoid longer time in jail. But even under the terms of probation, I still had to do 21 days in day camp in jail, effectively Huber jail. Jim, you know, shouldn't they have made him at least do a halfway house or something?
Didn't your conviction have something to do with the destruction of public property and like lighting a police car on fire?
Well, I didn't light anything on fire. Not me.
Okay. You flipped it. I mean, I'm just saying there's different circumstances. We're talking about a guy not paying his taxes, which, you know, I think a lot of Republicans laud Donald Trump for doing that. Donald Trump says, hell, only the suckers pay taxes, Jim. And the gun crime, to my understanding, was on the application because by his own admission, he was, you know, using crack cocaine at the time. He filled out the document saying, I don't use drugs.
Right.
And a real paperwork crime.
But Jim, I had a question of the counselor. My question was, Jim, relative to other, relatively speaking, nonviolent first offenders, and many of us have been that person, Jim, does this seem like due justice under the federal penal codes?
It does. It doesn't strike me as the kind of thing that is wildly inappropriate in either direction. And again, you'd like to think that the fact that he is the president's son has no influence on this. Obviously, prosecutors are aware of that. The judge is aware of that. You can't completely purge that from your mind. On the other hand, I suspect if you were to look at the cases that we prosecuted in eastern Wisconsin, obviously this is going ahead in Delaware there, you could find comparable cases, again, where Dom just indicated, first-time offender, you've got someone who did pay his taxes back, presumably anticipating that there would be some federal criminal penalty going along with that. And recognize, too, going back to our first part of our conversation, that plainly the Department of Justice looked at about 15 years of his activity and his conduct. Recall, too, that there was this involvement, arguably, with Burisma. That's that Ukrainian energy company. There was this issue about a Chinese energy tycoon, all kinds of things that are still out there and people still bring up from time to time. No doubt the Department of Justice looked at those as well. Again, this being handled by a U.S. attorney who's holdover from the Trump administration, making these judgment calls. That's not an insignificant thing. Looking at all that, this is what they identified as being the most viable, not only chargeable, but convictable nature of the conduct there. My guess is it's probably within the realm of reasonableness for Delaware. And recognize, too, this also has to be approved by the federal judge there. This is not just a matter of going and saying this is the package judge that you will now put your signature on. Judge has got to make some inquiries about the facts of this case. Can also ask about other things related to the overall investigation to determine that justice has been done. All that will happen sometime fairly soon.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our counselor, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis 9 to 11 on Saturdays here on Civic Media. But Jim, I would assume lots of things that the Justice Department should have been doing. For instance, when they're going after and looking at what Hunter Biden did. Maybe they were looking at Burisma. Maybe they didn't. Maybe we're looking at some of these other things you mentioned. Maybe they didn't. And you know why I say that, Jim? Because apparently, according to the Washington Post yesterday, the DOJ was sitting on their hands for, 16 months at least, as it pertains to investigating Trump and those other folks involved in the January 6th conspiracy, the fraudulent electors, the whole thing, Jim. They were doing nothing, according to the reporting. What's your sense, sir?
Right. And again, go back to the times that on this very fine radio broadcast in the wake of January 6th, shortly after that, we were talking about the things the president said from that ellipse that day. It was already leaking out all these other possible conspiracies. We didn't have the entire Eastman kind of a mechanism before us, but within weeks, if not a couple of months or so, and this reporting, apparently reliable, again, from the Washington Post, some folks inside the FBI, arguably the Department of Justice more generally, saying exactly that, that because of some wariness of appearing partisan, some institutional caution, we didn't want to appear as if we were not being consistent with the Attorney General's plan, restore the integrity of the Department of Justice. This is what happens when you go too far. We've talked about this a lot in the past. The Department of Justice is an independent, should be an independent agency, should not be beholden to the president or former president, has got to go right down that middle and call them as they see them. When you start to make decisions either premised upon preferences not to prosecute someone because you're concerned about the political implications of that, or to prosecute someone, which is what we had somewhat during the Trump administration, either one of those is inappropriate. This reporting, again, seems fairly reliable in terms of some of the sources. And I think Christopher Wray, at a minimum, has got some explaining to do here. If I were the Democrats, if I were Dick Durbin in the Senate Judiciary Committee, I'd call him in and ask him about some of this, especially since what is the big consequence? The three of us have talked about this offline. We've talked about it on the air. TikTok, 19 months from today, there is the inauguration of a certain new chief executive in Washington, D.C. Is that enough time to charge Donald Trump with January 6th, to do all the things you need to do, pre-trial, trial, post-trial, conviction things? I don't think so. And that's the concern. If you wait a year, then you're really behind the eight ball when it comes to finishing all this up. Joe Biden gets a second term. You've got a new lease on life, but we don't know yet who the president's going to be in 19 months. And that changes everything in the dynamics of Donald Trump's prosecution and his criminal liability for history.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest. He is Jim Santel, host of his own fine civic media show, Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings, often replayed on the Sundays as well, in case you missed them. Jim, Donald Trump's got a trial date, and this seems surprisingly quick. In the Mar-a-Lago case, Eileen Cannon, is she the one that would have set in August, a mid-August trial date? Jim, that is before the first Republican debate is supposed to be coming here to Milwaukee. That's pretty quick.
Here in Milwaukee. Exactly. And I read that and I thought, okay, that's presumably what one does. We've talked about this before as well. Speedy Trial Act, which contemplates a trial within 70 days, principally of your first appearance in court. You do that calculation to come out to late August. She's also set this deadline of July 24th, which is about a month from now, for pretrial motions. You can file those, but realistically, I would, I don't know what the bet is here. I shouldn't bet on the airwaves here, but those dates will not hold. It is impossible, absolutely impossible to believe. We've got a trial coming up here later this year. Got way too much to do. Among other things, we also have an order from the court directing all defense counsel to get security clearances so they can view all this. That alone will take at least weeks, if not months, to accomplish before they can begin to take a look at the discovery. All these other things are going to take a huge amount of time, 2024, maybe even 2025, before we see a trial in this.
That's not great news, counselor. We're having a good day up until that.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I don't know if I agree. I don't like that assessment, Jim. I don't like that at all.
Stick around, Jim Santel. We're going to go to break and try to change your opinion, counselor. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. You, if you are patient on the phones, we might get to you soon at 844-967-2789. I want to talk about George Santos. He's got a bail question before the courts Thursday.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motor. motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson and Walks, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Fox, GTWLawyers.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear and warm, lows upper 50s. Sunny and hot again tomorrow, highs upper 80s to around 90. On Thursday, we'll see an increase in clouds, a chance of showers and storms, highs upper 80s. Storm chance continues for Friday and the weekend. High temps staying in the 80s. Currently, it's 87.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, host of Morning Cannolis at 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Network. Sticking around, Jim. Thank you for doing so. I want to maybe walk back a little bit and get a little into your head about the timing here. Eileen Cannon has announced the trial for Trump on the top secret espionage, you know, obstruction case will be on start on Monday, August 14th. Coming up real quick. And you're saying, and she's already ordered that the Trump attorneys get, you know, edified, they get like whatever they get the security to read the documents, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm looking at here, Jim, you said 24, maybe into 25 by the time this thing actually goes to trial. What things could happen, should happen, may happen to speed it up? Could they drop a few of the charges? Could they? I mean, what do you? Is there anything that could be done to shorten the timeline as you laid it out?
Sure, and I know that is somewhat shocking to hear and to say out loud. But realistically, again, when you add up all the things that have got to happen here, including all these motions we filed attacking the indictment, charging that all the suppression motions have got to come related again to Mar-a-Lago, to these tapes that apparently they have. All those things we heard. Motions, a huge amount of pretrial stuff happening between even the time that a jury is selected. Jury selection could take much as a month. Presentation, lots of things have got to happen here. Could things be expedited? Sure they could. You could have a judge, and it may well be Eileen Cannon. If she's serious about this, she could say, okay, I'm sticking to those motion dates. I'm going to have omnibus hearings on these things. And she is still in charge. The Speedy Trial Act, however, does contemplate that you can make findings beyond this 70-day period based upon complexity, the interests of justice. She will almost certainly be compelled to do that. The government may almost involve itself and even support that kind of an extension of time just to ensure that there's a good record on all this. But again, we've had federal district court judges out there have said, I mean what I say, I say what I mean. Let's move more quickly on this. And you could do that. It's just that, gosh, that we've seen these stories before. We've seen Donald Trump's, even amongst the legitimate stuff that he does, it takes time. There could be interlocutory appeals to the 11th Circuit. Remember, too, this is a judge who, as we all know, was very, very hostile to the investigation to begin with. The Department of Justice may well be pursuing appeals. She starts suppressing evidence here, robbing the department of its capacity to try this case. Finding that certain buckets, if you will, of evidence are not going to be presented in trial. All of that could take more time in terms of appeals going up and down. Lots of contests here. But again, if she says, I'm going to keep on top of this and day to day to day, really going to keep the lawyers in tow, You could expedite it at a minimum. It is almost impossible to believe this will be tried in this calendar year. 2024 is probably the safe bet at some point during next year. Again, right in the middle of the campaign.
Our fine guest, Jim Santel, for a few more minutes. Counselor, the nature of the crime, the fact that Donald Trump has these classified documents, allegedly, at his private residence, he's not likely to reoffend should he not be eligible to be the president in the future. What do you think, especially due to the complexity of the documents being held, the fact that we may not be able to present this evidence in a trial? I mean, what, are you going to get everyone on the jury security clearance? They can't know what our war plans are. Is it probable, in your opinion, counselor, that Donald Trump's attorneys at some point will try to make a plea deal with the federal government and try to get their own, you know, probation slap on the wrist?
Well, absolutely. And again, they wouldn't be attorneys if they didn't at least try to do that, right? The question is, how strident is Jack Smith in this, and what is the government going to get out of it? My guess is that Jack Smith is looking for prison time. And if that is the case, you will not get the Hunter Biden result here. That may be the dispositive thing here. If there is a negotiation here, which probably is already at a very low level, already underway, the attorneys coming forward and saying, listen, what is it going to take to get rid of all of this? And those are good attorneys if they're doing that. If they're not doing that, they're not doing their jobs. But it depends upon what the government wants to get out of this. And if they really are looking for some jail time for the former president, which I suspect they are, then it's going to be more difficult for the defense attorneys to go back to Donald Trump and say, you got to spend 6 months at a federal low security prison somewhere. That's going to be the result of this case. And you're pleading guilty this fall, by the way, which means that somehow in the midst of the campaign, you've got to be incarcerated. I don't know how any of
Jim, they're not good attorneys. They've allowed their client to go out on multiple media interview tours and basically confess his guilt and somehow rationalize why, you know, they're wrong in their legal attacks upon me. It's a witch hunt, but he provides more and more evidence for the prosecutors, does he not, sir?
He does.
And these ain't great attorneys, Jim.
They're not. That's why I'm a caution about what is and is not going on here. Jack Smith is recording all this. The Brett Baer interview the other night when Donald Trump says, no, those were not classified documents. Those were news articles I was talking about. Well, it certainly doesn't indicate that in the indictment itself. And you'll see that Brett Baer interview once again at the trial. We've got a tape of that already inside the Department of Justice presenting that in part of the prosecution, or at least to the defense, if you will, in a rebuttal case, if in fact there is a case put up by the defense in this. All of this, not good. They not had client control. They never have. The attorneys, as I've said repeatedly, every single morning wake up and wonder, what today is our client going to do and say, this is just wild and it is out of control from the defense side. He should be quiet, quiet, quiet. That will never happen, is
it? Jim, a bad attorney never has a great client. You know what I mean? Real quick, though, on Brett Baer, Trump has essentially said, I gave back some of the documents. Some of the documents. And literally, wasn't there a legal document where someone attested to that, yes, you in fact have them all? I mean, that alone is what is the obstruction, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that too, that little snippet, that's basically the defendant confessing on national media the very one of the small offense pieces inside that indictment. It just gets worse and worse. He needs to be quiet, but he won't be.
It gets better on Saturday mornings, the Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. Thanks for coming around, Jim. Stick around, the rest of you, more Devil's Advocates.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. Republicans aren't happy about the plea deal the Department of Justice has made with President Biden's son. Hunter Biden will plead guilty to tax and weapons charges and will likely avoid prison time. Senator Lindsey Graham.
One question that people ask, is this a sweetheart deal? I don't know, but I look forward to hearing the explanation from the U.S. attorney involved.
It's hot and sticky in parts of the Southwest and Southeast. Bruce Castillo is trying to stay cool.
I've been living in Austin for like 20 years now or something. It feels so much hotter than usual. Even in the shade, even with a fan, even with water, it feels kind of like a little icky.
No luck so far in the search for a 5-person submersible in the Atlantic Ocean. One of Jannika Mikkelsen's friends is on board.
Right now, I am nervous and very scared. It's not good. It really isn't good. It will be a miracle if the crew returns alive.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire
state. Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Wildfire danger remains high for northwestern and southwestern Wisconsin today. The DNR says that this year's fire season is outpacing last year so far, thanks in part to ongoing drought. The National Weather Service says conditions will stay hot and dry for at least a few more days. In Lake Halley, the village board is considering proposals that would target its homeless population. Police Chief Ed Orgon said the new ordinances would make loitering and living in vehicles ticketable offenses. He says complaints from businesses and homeowners along Commercial Boulevard are what spurred the proposals. The board plans to take up action on the proposals in July. A man accused of shooting multiple people in downtown La Crosse early Saturday morning is being held at the La Crosse County Jail on a $1 million cash bail. That's according to online court records. 31-year-old DeAndrew Grant is charged with 6 counts of reckless attempted homicide with the use of a dangerous weapon. La Crosse police say he fired a gun from a vehicle on 3rd Street around 2 a.m. on Saturday, shooting and injuring 6 people. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to 3 different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson and Walks 855-954-1186. News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson and Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson and Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson and Walks today. 855-954-1186.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a great Tuesday edition. Happier happy hour, rolling through it with your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Thanks to our great and fine guest, Jim Santel. He's a little too nice, like Merrick Garland. I'm looking for a street fighter some days, Jim.
Ah, he lays it out, though, man. He gives the facts, even if, or it's, you know, this is opinions, even if we don't want to hear them or don't necessarily agree. So, yes, the August 14th start of the Trump trial for the documents case, for the espionage and all that starts, probably won't conclude within 2 weeks after that, unfortunately.
Jim Santel, the morning cannolis will never give you heartburn like he does to me sometimes. 844-967-2789. A few of our callers occasionally give me heartburn. Madame, I've been taking note
of the text messages, the shiny new Civic Media app. And now it's available in both the iOS, that's the Apple Store, and wherever you Googly people, you Android people get your stuff. Was that the Google App Store or whatever? We've got the app up in both
sites. Let's just go to your App Store. You'll find it there.
And I've noted that you can text us directly, and it's much more easy for me to monitor your text. So into hour one, someone texts Dokken with like 4 exclamation points.
Yeah, baby.
That was the Hunter song we're rocking out to, right? And then at 5:03, I noted someone put, who checks these? And then someone wrote, Dom is the best Devil's Advocate, exclamation point. And I looked at that number and I'm like, man, that number feels familiar.
What?
And of course, that's your phone number, Dom.
I was just testing it out, man. But here is what I believe I have discovered, and I did not know, and maybe we can all learn together. The texts are only open while the show window was up. I don't know that we could text outside of the show window, I guess is my point.
I'm not clear if I can text you back. Some are like, you were asking. I tried texting back. I'm not sure if anyone actually gets the response from me. But I see your text. One more here. Jim Santel was a good U.S. attorney. And he'll tell you that the Speedy Trial Act sets quick trial dates. But as I text this, he answers all.
He does answer it all.
And then a emoji like, man, he beat the very intelligent texter to the punch. He's pretty good.
844-967-2789. But we didn't get to all of it, and we appreciate Jim's time as always. But the dates, one of the reasons why today is such a good day, we're getting some clarity on additional dates. As mentioned, Judge Eileen Cannon, Trump's appointee, set a date for August 18th for his trial, the Jack Smith documents trial. Also, another date has come to light. New information has come to light, man. So let's get it out there. The first debate, Bill Glauber reports, August 23rd at the Pfizer Forum here in Milwaukee. Fox News Channel announced Tuesday the first Republican primary debate of the cycle held in Milwaukee's main arena. The two-hour debate will take place from 8 to 10 p.m. August 23rd local time and will be broadcast nationally by Fox News and simulcast on Fox Business Network.
So
the debate will give Republican field its first big chance. It will also provide Milwaukee something of a test run for the next year's convention. Oh, man. Of course, that happens in 2024, July 15th to the 18th. The debate will be co-moderated debate by Fox News, Brett Baer and Martha McCallum. Baer recently conducted an interview with former President Donald Trump. Now, I did see on the Fox website, they're going to like air part two. It's like, wait, there's more?
I more can't confessions on camera?
Come on, what? Don't do it, no! So the other days, Trump's status for opening the opening debate is unclear. Amid early reports, he doesn't want to boost his challengers by sharing the stage with them. He holds a wide lead in the polls among the Republican field. So we got a court date, August 14th. We got the debate coming here in Milwaukee on August 23rd. But what's the other one? It's the other one. The one we know. Oh, Fannie Willis, Fulton County DA. She gave a range. Now, that grand jury is impaneled from July 11th to September 1st. And she told staff, like, 70% of you stay home, work remotely between July 31st and August 18th. So whatever Willis does or doesn't do will happen, presumably, before Trump's other court date on the 14th and definitely before the debate here in Milwaukee on the 23rd. Trump's going to not be able to make it. He'll be otherwise occupied.
Quick note, Speaker of the House, U.S. House, Kevin McCarthy, made a subtle admission, sort of a slip of sorts. He was talking about the unfair treatment, the Hunter Biden, the sweetheart deal. But notice the other thing that he says about Donald Trump. I'll just give you a quick quote. Do you think it's equal and fair that a political opponent is going to be given jail time?
What?
But a presidential son, and if you compare this to other individuals in America that have the same accusations against them, the same crimes that they've been guilty of, they're proposed to have 10 years in another time period. So while bemoaning the lack of jail time given to Hunter Biden, the Speaker of the House basically acknowledges the MAGA leader, Trump's going to prison, man. Oops. You think he meant to say that? Or was that more of a Rick Perry moment? 844-967-2789. In this rare case, I want to hear from you, CJ. Hunter Biden, he's getting his day in court. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Three charges. There, you've been fully vindicated, CJ.
Well, thanks for taking my call. And I know you, Crudy, Dom, and Mr. Cannoli believe in truth, justice, and fairness. So, you know, as we watch, you know, Civic Radio, I know we'll cover the Durham testimony tomorrow because you believe in truth, justice, and fairness.
If there's any,
we're gonna
there,
find
there,
out just how corrupt our FBI, our DOJ,
yes, and our the FBI CIA, been sat on it, sat on investigating so, Donald Trump and the rest of the fraudulent, you know, partners for a year and a half, CJ. That's certainly troublesome, isn't it?
You know, I've said all along, guys, and you can look back, I want accountability no matter who it is, whether it's the Trump family or the Biden family.
Sure.
Unfortunately, your party doesn't. Mr. Cannoli, I'm sure he's so proud of those 51 liars that lied to every voter in America.
What, dude?
What 51 liars are you?
What are you talking about, man?
Are you talking about the false Trump electors that claim they were the valid electors? Because they're
to name them. Do I need to name them?
We don't even know what you're talking about.
Clapper. Oh my gosh, you guys are so blind on your fantasy.
No, light it up, man. Tell us. No,
name names.
The floor is yours, man. Edify us. Tell me. Who's lying? Who are the 50 liars that lied to the American people?
James Comey, John Brennan, Clapper. I mean, the list.
We're up to three, man. I'm waiting for 48 more names.
So, wait, aren't those all like FBI, like conservative appointed type folks, CJ? I mean, listen, CJ, hang on. Let me interject if I may. All the testimony and lots of the criticism lately, and all, most of the testimony, certainly in the January 6th hearings and presumably in the grand juries, these are Trump's people, man. You know what I'm saying? This isn't me or Crudy or Evan or Bernie Sanders. These are all former Trump people. So you're going to tell me that every single one, all these former Trump people who hires the best people and he gathers greatness around him, that every one of them who have had some criticism of Donald Trump and have testified, you think they're all lying under oath as well? Come on, man. These are your crew. This is the GOP testifying against the GOP, bro.
Dom, can I answer? Because
yes, please.
Bring up, I've told you this before, bring up the cover from the New York Post on March 19th, 2022. Bring the cover up. You can YouTube it. There's the 51 liars that lied to America.
Okay, CJ. I actually am getting texts in on the text line saying, when CJ talks, I turn down and turn off my radio.
I mean, just trying, man. I'm trying
instead,
to understand.
Because
this is not a conspiracy against Donald Trump by you know, left-wing Crudy and Dom. Come on, man. This is the FBI. This is a conservative.
Come on, it's Mark. You know what the Trump team is now using to represent Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows, the former chief of staff, White House chief of staff, CJ, the chief's chief, wrote the book and everything. Now they're using the rat emoji to characterize him because they think he's flipped. But you can only flip if there's something to flip on. You know what
right.
I mean? If there's no there, you ain't getting
no,
off
you can,
the charges
no, listen,
against
but-
Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows at minimum committed campaign finance laws, broke campaign finance laws. He didn't even live in his own district.
What the conspiracy megas QAnon folks will say, you know, number one, coffee boy, did barely knew him, right? All those things. You're talking about, I mean, look at everybody in Trump's orbit who has been critical of him in the last couple of weeks, certainly, and certainly over the last, who's testified publicly at the January 6th committees, or who do we know have walked into whatever grand jury and whatever district is open investigating Donald Trump. These are all conservatives. These are all Republicans. You know what I mean? So this is why it's so dangerous for your guy CJ, because these are people that are in the room with him.
844-967-2789. Anyone but CJ. Jack from Merrimack. How are you, Jack?
Hey, Jack.
Hey, just peachy keen today. It's a beautiful day out there, man.
It's glorious.
When I first heard this early this morning that Biden, Hunter Biden, had copped the plea, I could already hear the echoes coming down the telephone lines. Biden, guilty. They need to understand, you know, and this is a problem we've got in this country. There are people that do not make themselves educated about things like this. Hunter Biden is an adult. He's responsible for his own actions, and his father is not responsible for his actions, unless, of course, he instigated them, which I think is pretty doubtful. Secondly, Hunter Biden was never in, and as far as I know, has no intention of ever being part of the current Democratic administration, unlike Trump's kids and near relatives.
Come on, they took Hunter to Ireland, the humanity of it. Hunter did recently travel with his father, which is not exactly the same as serving in the White House, but, you know, that's how... Republicans saw a picture on Fox News. They know it's true, Jack.
Yeah. The other thing I want to suggest is this. If Trump, he's screaming about how easily Hunter Biden got off, well, Hunter Biden copped a plea. He went to a plea agreement. All Trump has to do is admit that he's guilty and work out a plea agreement. If he thinks it's going to be that easy.
That sounds like a plan, Jack.
I would love it, Jack, and you're absolutely right. The situation totally different between the crimes, or at least the admitted crimes of Hunter Biden and the alleged crimes of the former president. So, but absolutely, one admitted, paid the back taxes, copped a deal, and two. I mean, that's it. And this is agreed to conservatives by what? A Trump appointee. So this is a holdover from Trump. You can't say that this is somehow, you know, terrible. I mean, I can't imagine,
you know,
if I were to be in that situation, imagine we would do the similar thing.
You know that was signed off on by the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray. I mean, you know, it was signed off on by Merrick Garland.
A Biden appointee.
Yeah, there's no way that this plea deal was made with Hunter Biden without sign-offs. Lisa Monaco, everyone signed off on this. And I got to tell you, it does feel like Hunter Biden kind of got a sweet deal. I mean, it does. And it's perhaps not the fact he's the president's son. It's the fact that he has all the benefits of wealth and power.
Wow, yeah.
Right? Rich people get good lawyers, and they get off. Wasn't it the other day they were referencing OJ in reference to Donald Trump? Like, remember when OJ had to get hauled into trial before he was vindicated?
No, there's never going to...
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
would
that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude,
Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear and warm, lows upper 50s. Sunny and hot again tomorrow, highs upper 80s to around 90. On Thursday, we'll see an increase in clouds, a chance of showers and storms, highs upper 80s. Storm chance continues for Friday and the weekend. High temps staying in the 80s. Currently, it's 87.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
I'm just beginning to see. Now I'm on my way.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Chasing the clouds away.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Last segment of the day. You got something to say? Hit us up right now. 844-967-2789.
Let's go to the phones. Another Jack. This one from Madison. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
Hello, Jack.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Going back to CJ and his commentary there. The beautiful thing about what's happening right now is that Donald Trump is going to be convicted on crimes that he wrote the law for in 2016. That's the beauty of it. It was a misdemeanor, no fine. Now it's 5 years minimum, and it's Class C felony. So there, you know, he wrote the law. He was trying to take Hillary down, couldn't do it, and now it's coming back to bite him. I think that's pretty good. But I do have a comment.
Karma's a bitch, ain't it, Jack?
Yeah. It's good. But I do have a comment on another note. The archives departments or division, I think there should be some oversight there too. I mean, it's kind of ludicrous that a guy like that can leave the White House or even leave a secured facility, with classified or secret documents at any point. I mean, and they should have better record retention. So,
but he's the president of the United States. We've never been faced with a guy who is so careless with governmental secrets.
Guys, if I may just interject, when this came out last August, Donald Trump was quoted, or at least put out a statement, August 13th of 2022 from Insider regarding the documents. Quote, as we can all relate to, everyone ends up having to bring home their work from time to time. American presidents are no different. President Trump, in order to prepare for work the next day, often took documents, including classified documents from the Oval House to the residence. So, I mean, he's working for us, Jack.
Yeah, well, if you take a look at what happened with Hunter just now, you know, they gave Trump 4 or 5 free passes, too, but he didn't take them. So,
right.
Shame
yeah,
on
that's
him.
A great point.
They gave him every opportunity to return the documents, CJ. So, there you go. Thanks, guys. Great
Amen.
Show.
Thanks, Jack.
You, appreciate it. A little more to throw out there before we get to some more callers, 844-967-2789. NBC News reporting on this Hunter deal. A little background. In 2021, Hunter Biden paid all the outstanding taxes he owed for 2017 and 2018, the years named in the charges. He was not charged with failure to file returns those years. He filed returns, but agreed to plead guilty to not paying enough in both years, the amount over $100,000. So he owed $100,000 in back taxes. Called what, 50 grand a year? And then he filled out a form to get a weapon that he owned for 2 weeks while he was, you know, cracking out. Those are the crimes. So there you go. What's reasonable?
Lock him up! Lock him up!
In a statement, the Justice Department said Biden, quote, faces a maximum penalty of 12 months in prison for each of the tax charges and a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison on the firearms charge, but noted that sentences for federal crimes are typically less than maximum penalties. A federal district court judge will determine any sentence after taking into account the U.S. sentencing guidelines and other statutory factors. Of course, they'll usually follow that recommendation.
I hope they prosecute all the tax cheats. I mean, we might collect a few more tax dollars. 844-967-2789. Bill from Madison. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, I would just propose that
possibly, I'll be frank, everyone's correct. The Trumpers are a bunch of idiots and just need to let that guy go. I don't know why they cling on to him so much. And then on the other side, yeah, Biden is, it's exactly like what you said, Curry. It's the rich, truly privileged people with money and connection. You know, they get off of stuff. It's the American legal system. It's ridiculous. But everything can be true, you know. And, yeah, my biggest thing is the Trumpers just need to let that guy go away.
Like, who's that, Hunter?
Like, you know, Mr. Trump.
Oh, yeah.
He needs to just go away, let him fall to the side, let him pretend to be the big rich guy that he thinks he is, and just let him fall away, you know.
Cell block C would be a good place for him to fall away to my opinion. Do you hear about this Oman deal he made and the potential conflict of interest? The headline, never seen anything like it. I'll keep it brief. Government ethics experts are already raising alarms about the former president Donald Trump's business dealings with Oman. And the New York Times reporter Eric Lipton said on Tuesday that the arrangement Trump has forged is truly without precedent. This is rich guy being rich guy, right? Writing on Twitter, Lipton broke down what makes this particular Trump deal particularly troublesome. As a New York Times reporter, I've been investigating Trump family international deals since 16. India, Indonesia, Philippines, Turkey, Panama. I have never seen anything like the Oman deal. Regarding the potential for conflict of interest, what makes the deal such a giant red flag, argues Lipton, is that the land being used to build the Trump real estate project is actually owned by the government of Oman. Added to this, notes Lipton, the developer Dark Al Arkan is a Saudi real estate company with close ties to the Saudi royal family. MBS, Bonesaw. I'm sure, Dom, it's all on the up and up. 844.
That's a Donald Trump deal. Everything's on the up and up, right?
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, it becomes a little exhausting. Now Durham is going to say, well, they never should have done the Russia investigation in the first place. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was all kinds of noise, including coming from Donald Trump's own mouth and one of his sons saying we get all our money from Russia now. Donald Trump encouraging the Russians to hack Hillary Clinton's emails. You're hearing other information out there. Maybe it's just chatter out there in the world that Donald Trump is involved with the Russians. So John Durham is saying that the FBI is not supposed to investigate something about that. Period. I mean that.
Mark. I mean, I know that there's so much out there, and it's hard to remember it all. But I did a little reading recently, and I was reminded Natalia Veselnikskaya, right? The Trump Tower meeting. Oh, we didn't meet anybody. Oh, Trump Jr., right? Oh, we didn't meet. Oh, we did meet, but we were talking about
the
Magnitsky Russian
Act.
Adoptions. It was Russian adoptions, and then it came out. No. Of course, it's the Magnitsky Act. It's the fraud. It's Deutsche Bank. It's all those other things. And oh yeah, of course. If it's bad news on Hillary, that's great. And it's even better at the end of summer.
And let's not forget, Manafort literally gave Trump inside polling information to Konstantin Kilimnik. And didn't take any money for being the campaign manager. No, I'll do it for free.
For free.
I'll just work it out on the back end, if you know what I'm saying. Folks, thanks for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We always work it out on the back end.
Come on, for real people. Come on.
Stick around. We got some more fine programs, including the Maggie Dawn Show and Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education. And then up to the Rick Smith Show. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media. Now with a shiny new text app feature that I often read. Thanks for texting and listening, of course.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is
thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.